You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlove.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It is 6:06 on this Friday morning, March 28th, 2025. It's a beautiful, though noisy morning to have you here up north because of some rumbles of thunder. Live from Lake Wissota, from wherever you're listening across the Civic Media Radio Network, on the app, Facebook, YouTube, podcast, however you're here, and we thank you for it, for wrapping up the week right here. I've got a simple question. What season are we in? Thunderstorms now, snow in a day or two. I'm watching baseball. I'm watching hockey. I've got four different jackets in the back seat for whatever the temperature is going to end up doing. We'll get the full forecast details from meteorologist Brittany Merlot in just a sec. I'll have her state forecast in just a moment here. First, telling you what's coming up today. Friday brings us Kia Vakil from Courier Newsroom. We will talk about some of the national news stories of the week. And we'll start with a rather serious one of all the things that we've had to talk about during these 8 weeks, and there's been a lot. One that I don't think we've talked about enough here is that some people are actually being taken right off the streets by plainclothes, law enforcement, and unmarked cars, and detained to be shipped out of the country without due process. And that should bother anybody. Again, even if you voted for somebody thinking, well, they're going to round up all the criminals, experience tells us in other countries when they say, I'm just going to go round up all the criminals, it never is just the criminals. There turns out to be folks who have committed no crimes. There appear to be sometimes political opponents or critics. And is that really the kind of country that we want to be? So we'll talk to Kia a bit about that. In our second hour, we will, as always, have Mark Jacob and Jennifer Scholze talking about media coverage of the week's events and former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel. Jim Santel is a former prosecutor. All right, he's prosecuted a lot of bad dudes. So I was curious as to his opinion on a new bill making its way through the Wisconsin legislature that would say in so many words to anybody violating parole, right back into prison with you. You know, the ones that are overcrowded and understaffed with no accounting for things like rehabilitation or a need for addiction treatment or anything. Nope, we just throw you in a cage because we have some lawmakers who think prisons just magically happen and are just magically paid for and that there aren't more cost-effective ways to look out for public safety. So we'll talk to Jim Santel. Maybe as a prosecutor, he'll think that's a great idea. Spoiler alert, he does not. So that's coming up. Dan Schumacher will talk to us about sports, and Brittany Merlot will have the full forecast. Here's her state forecast. As some showers and storms linger in southern parts of the state later this morning, they're about to get smacked with a heat wave. Meanwhile, up north, folks are stuck with cooler conditions, and then there's that major storm bringing ice accumulations and snow right on our back doorstep to show up later in the weekend. So right now there's a system of thunderstorms that stretches, I mean, perfectly diagonal from Eau Claire, Chippewa Falls, down to Racine, Kenosha. And then for, you know, 20 to 50 miles either side of that line is just one big old system of thunderstorms moving its way across. Nothing severe. Certainly some locally heavy rain in some places. Once that moves through, there will still be a chance for spotty sprinkles up north, but sunny and unseasonably warm in the southern half of the state. The highs today, how's this for a range? Low 40s for highs today in northeast Wisconsin to around 80 in southern parts of the state. A southeast wind at 10 to 20 miles an hour. Tonight, scattered showers and thunderstorms are possible. Lows tonight in the low 30s up north, mid 40s in the southern part of the state, and east wind at 10 to 15 miles an hour. And then things get downright ugly in parts over the weekend. Ugly as in what happened at Yankee Stadium yesterday, and we'll get into that in just a moment. But first, we make our way toward Radio Park by telling you the temperatures at the bus stop this morning. In the rain, 46 here in Chippewa Falls, 40 in Hayward, 43 in Amory, 34 in Wausau. Wisconsin Rapids, 37. La Crosse is at 48 already. Green Bay, 39. Madison, 47. In the Milwaukee area, it's 45 at Mitchell, and it's 44 in Radio Park, where we bring in one Mr. Greg Bach. And you'll notice he and I both were resplendent in our Brewers gear yesterday. Today, not so much.
You know. Now we're just resplendent in reality.
Yeah. Details in a bit, but the Brewers lost, and there was some ugly stuff there as well. But first, it's Friday, and if there's one thing Greg Bach is good for on a Friday morning, it's telling you where the ha-has can be found. And that might be a little place he hangs out at on the weekends called the Laughing Tap. What's on tap, sir?
Oh, it's the ha-has that are happening down at the Laughing Tap. I was going to stop doing that. Chastity Washington, quite honestly, the funniest comedian in Milwaukee, the queen of Milwaukee comedy, is going to be here this weekend. We're going to be doing shows 7:30. I think it's going to be two shows this weekend. So 7:30 Friday and Saturday. And you can get your tickets by going to LaughingTap.com. $22 online, $25 at the door, no drink minimums. She is the real deal. She is a regular opener for Roy Wood Jr. And she has been on BET, HBO. She is... done it all.
That's great. So go get a look at that, or head to laughingtap.com to see what else is coming up in the future for maybe some other trip that you're making to the Milwaukee Metro. Your next chance to win in Civic Media's statewide break into spring text to win contest is less than an hour away. So get ready to use that Civic Media app and listen at 7:07. For your chance to win, either right before or right after the forecast from Brittany Merlot. Hey, this is your last call for early voting. If you have the chance to get over to your local clerk's office today, depending on when their hours are, you can still do your voting early. In-person absentee balloting. And then that'll go into an envelope. And that envelope will not be opened until Election Day morning. And then processed just like all the other ballots of people who are voting that day. So, again, big, big election on April 1st. We'll talk about that in a sec. But to learn more about where to vote and what's on your ballot and whether you're registered or not, head to myvote.wi.gov. Again, myvote.wi.gov. You can get our daily newsletter over at upnorthnewswi.com. Hit subscribe up there in the top banner. Christina Laurie's story today is... her stories, I should say, include one about Jackie Johnson, a reporter who got tired of hearing people mispronounce Wisconsin town names. And so she started a website with a whole bunch of audio clips so that you could hear how to pronounce them so that you would not mispronounce the names anymore. And I love the name she gave it, Miss Pronouncer, not to be confused with Mrs. Pronouncer, but she's now known as Miss Pronouncer. So that you can go learn how to pronounce those names. Read about it in the newsletter. Also about the origin of the ice cream sundae. Legend has it that Two Rivers played a role in that. And then my story on Election Day 101. Basically, if you've been asleep all of this time and are just starting to wonder what's on the ballot for Tuesday, well, you can read that article in today's newsletter, or you can head over to our website and look for my article there all about... what to do if you're first tuning in now to the election at upnorthnewswi.com. And then, of course, we've got our politics newsletter coming out on Sunday morning as well, wrapping up the events of the past week. All right. Well, in sports, I think opening day, everybody feels like, okay, we've got all the potential in the world. Let's go get them. Let's not overreact. Tony writes, here's what I learned from opening day. Churio is going to strike out every at-bat this year. The Brewers will fall just short of the playoffs. Cleveland will play extra innings every game and end the season undefeated, probably sweeping the playoff series as well, and go down as the best team of all time. Certainly not an overreaction, says Tony. So it's a little frustrating when you have all the best intentions of being patient all year long, and then... Jackson Churio strikes out five times. five strikeouts. Christian Yelich goes 0 for 4. The Brewers opened up the season at Yankee Stadium with a 4-2 loss. And look, let's not make excuses here, but Yankee Stadium's right field is a joke, okay? It's lovingly called, oh, it's a short porch, a short porch. That just means it wouldn't be a home run in any other major league stadium, and Yankee hitters know how to hit it better than the visitors. The Yankees catcher, Austin Wells, deposited a Freddy Peralta pitch in there right off the top of the bottom of the first to make history. It was the first time in baseball history that a catcher has hit a leadoff home run on the season's opening day. I know it's a bit of a stretch, but it's true. Perhaps more annoying was facing Devin Williams, who was traded to the Yankees. He's now the closer there. And yet he was already getting booed by Yankees fans because he comes in and loads the bases full of Brewers with nobody out. He gives up a run on a sac fly, but then proceeds to strike out the aforementioned Jackson Churio and Christian Yelich to end the game. And the Yankees win 4-2, Freddy Peralta giving up those short porch homers in the first and second innings. The bright spot was newly acquired Vinny Capra had homered in the third inning for the Brewers. Now, they have today off. That's always the backup day on opening day in case it's rainy or snowing or whatever the case may be. So the Brewers do not play today. They are back at it tomorrow. Coverage begins at 11:30 tomorrow morning on Civic Media stations in Richland Center, Oshkosh, Racine, Kenosha, Park Falls, and in Hayward. So catch the Brewers all across the Civic Media radio network. The Milwaukee Bucks are back from a long road trip out west, and they play later tonight against the New York Knicks as they make the final push toward the end of the regular season. One of the things that we're going to cover here after the break is, again, getting you up to speed on what's happening with the elections in Wisconsin, especially the big one for Wisconsin Supreme Court, where you have Waukesha County Judge Brad Schimmel, who was Attorney General during Scott Walker's second term as governor, facing Dane County Judge Susan Crawford. Some very interesting ads in these final days and some interesting stunts, like the world's richest man, again, basically trying to buy this election and announcing that he has once again, like he did last fall, given $1 million to a Wisconsin voter who was in some kind of a sweepstakes. Nothing untoward about that at all, I'm sure. So we'll get into more of that and get you ready for Election Day next week. Can we handle the silence when this is all done? This is Up North News Radio, live from Chippewa Falls. I'm Pat Kreitlow.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Now there's one on every corner, in the back of every bar. You can get one in your briefcase, on a plane, or in your car. So tell me why.
Reba McEntire has put out exactly 100 singles as a lead artist. 100 singles. A lot of them did pretty good. She's got a birthday today. We're talking about that in today's history lesson coming up. That's not one of the typical country songs, but it's one that I've really liked since it came out when she was just the queen of all things country and said, I can play any genre I want. I can do blues. I can do rock. And we'll tell you more about today's history lesson coming up in just a little bit. Greg, I did not ask you this ahead of time, so we're getting a stone-cold reaction out of you on where you are on Justin Vernon and Bon Iver. And I will quickly add my spicy take is that I'm an old man and not necessarily in his target range, but he is clearly a huge selling artist based here in Western Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm. Yes, he is. And I think you'd enjoy him. He's got it's an emotional roller coaster with Justin's music. It's very all over the place, but it's got its place. And I think it's got its place for every listener, I'll tell you my Bon Iver story very quickly. If you live in Western Wisconsin, you know how much Justin loves that area. He's very, he's visible, and he owns a little, I believe he owns a little motel that he refurbished.
Oh, yes. He basically, he and some others in some way saved downtown Eau Claire, in part by buying that that old Holiday Inn and refurbishing it into a wonderful place.
That's awesome. I was doing a show in Eau Claire years ago before the pandemic, before you and I met, and at a place called The Plus. And yes. It was a great show. I was opening for a friend of mine. And my friend Hari Kundabolu, who was just in town last week, and we were in the back area of The Plus, and there was Justin Vernon with some very L.A. people, Pat. Very L.A.
This... Babe, how you doing?
Huh? Does this old fat chin have matcha? are your cheese curds farm to table?
I get it.
And so... There, he's working on he's futzing around with his music. He had just been nominated that morning for 5 Grammys. Ooh. And he was doing his thing. He was having a good time. He was celebrating. And he walked up and he goes, "Hi, I'm Justin." And I go, "Hi, I'm Greg. It's nice to meet you." I let him do his thing. I'm not going to bother him. And then I'm doing my show. I get off stage and a guy just walked up and he goes, "Justin really liked you. He thought you were really funny." I'm like, "Yeah."
I'd like to now announce my retirement. That's
so if you look at my social media, all of my social media says I made Bon Iver laugh.
That's great. Let's see. Tony puts up on YouTube, Towers is a wonderful song by Bon Iver. I say all this because he got a nice write-up in the New York Times. Was that yesterday? Maybe day before? All about Sable Fable, his 5th studio album and his first since 2019.
Wow.
And I love music writing. I love journalists who write well about music. So let me just give away the lead on this. What you notice right away on Sable Fable, Bon Iver's 5th studio album and first since 2019, is its directness, its brightness, and in some places, its lust. Justin Vernon, the band's frontman and creative engine, is singing more directly than ever before. And the production captures hopes, thrills, and a kind of unself-conscious exaltation. Goes on to talk about how he's very much an in-demand collaborator for Taylor Swift, Charlie XCX, Zach Bryan, and many others. And yeah, from everything I've heard, all around good guy.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, Pat, the way he walked up to me, he didn't say, "Hey, what's up? I'm Justin." Or it was just the most, "Hi, I'm Justin." I'm like, "I know you are." He's very, very sweet boy.
Has not forgotten his roots.
Oh, in fact, if anything, he clings to them. And I think there's something about that. Like, you know, I always think about that. Like, what if I became a famous comedian? I think I would still want my home base to be here. I don't want to be in LA and I don't want to be in New York. I want to be the place I know, the people I know. I don't want to have to deal with LA comedy scene. Blech. And all that. Pat, the stories you hear from comedians, especially in LA, they're like, you're talking to people and they're staring right through you. They're not listening and they want to know what you're doing so they can be a part of it. And if it's not popular enough, they don't care.
They will not. Otherwise, they will glom right on to you. Yep. So, understand. So, anyway, check that out. Somebody sent it to me as a gift link. Somebody else should share it with you because it's a nice write-up about it. So, all right. Well, let's get over to the state Supreme Court race for a quick update here. And the update is from, first one is from me personally, checking out the latest political ads. And one of them just really stood out to me. And I think you deserve to know about it. It's an ad that at first looks like it's an anti-Brad Schimmel ad, you know, about Donald Trump and about how Donald Trump is getting involved in the state Supreme Court race. And he's writing about how this is the most important race and how, you know, we need to elect Brad Schimmel. And I thought, wow, somebody's really taking, you know, control of this. Like Trump is his popularity is down. He's meddling in our race. But then the commercial goes on, you know, Trump wants Brad Schimmel to win and Trump's right. And Trump, otherwise the Trump agenda is going to be blocked here in Wisconsin unless we elect Brad Schimmel. And I'm like, oh, so maybe this is an Elon Musk group, or maybe it's Trump's PAC that's saying, oh, no, Trump is, you know, Schimmel is Trump's choice. They are in lockstep. You've got to vote for Schimmel if you're going to vote for Trump. I'm like, ooh, what PAC is this? And at the I get to the end, and there's the fine print paid for by Brad Schimmel's campaign. It's a Brad Schimmel ad touting his endorsement by the most partisan and divisive figure in at least recent American history. Somebody in the process of dismantling some of the best parts of government that help the most people, make more people suffer, commit a heist in order to shovel all that money from these alleged cuts into more tax cuts for people like Donald Trump and Elon Musk. I almost said Trusk. Maybe we should just change the name of the ticket. So that's the update. Brad Schimmel wants you to know he's paying a lot of money in campaign commercials to say he is Donald Trump's choice. And if you vote for Brad Schimmel, you are voting for the Republican presidential candidate when you cast a ballot for the former Republican attorney general. Is that really what we need on the Wisconsin State Supreme Court? We'll cover more ground with Kia Vakil right after this. You're up north. Now is Kia Vakil, Courier Newsroom, political editor, national political correspondent, all around good guy. Just there's so many titles floating around here these days. Kia, how are you?
I am all right, Pat. I'm exhausted, but I am all right.
I don't mean to start on kind of a down note, but as somebody who went through the wildfires there, yeah. Is it kind of weird to see what's happening out in the Carolinas and other parts out east? That there, I mean, you never hear about that kind of a wildfire problem on the eastern half of the U.S., and yet now they're going through this.
Yeah, it's pretty surreal. Obviously, I don't wish it on anybody. You know, I think that we are seeing wildfires, and, you know, the Southeast is jarring. It's also jarring to me how little it's broken through in the national news, you know, relative to, I mean, the LA wildfires broke through for a few days at least, but, you know, these wildfires in the Southeast have been going for a couple weeks, I want to say.
Yeah.
And, you know, it is, you know, it's jarring to me how little I've seen of it. Obviously, there's a ton going on in the country, in the world, but it's scary. You know, it speaks to the fact that, you know, more and more areas are going to be prone to wildfires as our climate heats up.
Well, that, and you're talking about an area that had already been hit so hard with that hurricane. And I mean, so this is just adding insult to injury. So our hearts definitely go out to the folks there. And I'm glad things continue to be quiet out by you. So now as we get into the news of the week, there's one serious thing I wanted to start with that we haven't had time to address on this program. And that is, how do we put it? I guess I would refer to them as the disappeared. It brings up memories of Operation Condor in South America when some 60,000 people just disappeared because of right-wing dictatorships. And, you know, that's not where we are at the moment, but everything starts somewhere. And these have been very troubling cases recently, Kia.
Yeah, I mean, this has been, to my mind, the darkest thing that's happened in the new Trump era. You know, we saw a couple weeks ago, Mahmoud Khalil, who's a Columbia student, essentially, you know, abducted from in front of his wife by unmarked or, you know, undercover ICE agents, whatever you want to call them, DHS agents. And he lives in New York. He was then taken to a prison in Louisiana, a holding facility in Louisiana. And, you know, he's still there and he is, you know, their justification was that he engaged in, you know, pro-Palestine protests. That's insane.
It's this expansion of what is, you know, terrorism, basically. Yeah. If Donald Trump is saying, if he declares somebody a terrorist, yep, then he has all the power. Well, that may be fine at first, you know, for somebody that doesn't agree with a Palestinian demonstration organizer, but, you know, where does it go from here?
Yeah, and I mean, we saw kind of where it goes this week. They are increasingly escalating. So, you know, first it might be someone involved who's in protests. On Tuesday, we saw, you know, a student in Boston, Rumeysa Ozturk, who she was walking to her, you know, interfaith center to, and a bunch of plainclothes officers, you know, looking like a goon squad, essentially,
right,
essentially descended on her. The video is incredibly horrifying. She screams, she's grabbed, she's whisked away. She has handcuffs put on her and is whisked away. And this is in broad daylight in a, you know, very, very, you know, I know Somerville. I went to college in Boston. I have probably walked down those streets. It is jarring. We are watching, and for her alleged crime is co-writing an op-ed in her student newspaper, essentially calling for equal human rights. And, you know, if we're in a day and age where anyone who writes an op-ed wishing that people in Gaza are, you know, free from death, or that, you know, everyone is treated the same in the world, then we're in a very dark place. You know, this is, like you mentioned, in South America, the right-wing dictatorships of Pinochet and in a few other countries abducted people, disappeared them, in some cases killed them. And we're 8 weeks in and they're already, you know, arresting people and disappearing them halfway across the country for literally doing almost nothing. And
exercising what should be their right under the First Amendment.
Exactly. And if you know, these so-called free speech warriors are essentially saying this doesn't apply because you're not a U.S. citizen, and that writing an op-ed makes you pro-Hamas, like, I'm sorry, that's BS. And that is, you know, we're not far from mid-1930s Germany at that point. Like, this is, you know, and I don't know if you saw it or not, but, you know, we saw Kristi Noem go to the prison.
I was going to ask about that next. Yeah, I mean, it just... It was propaganda to watch the Department of Homeland Security secretary standing in there with all these men in cages.
Yeah, it was a snuff video. Like, you know, Heinrich Himmler would be proud of that. It was so appalling. And a lot of those people that were sent, who were Venezuelan in descent, were sent to El Salvador having committed no crime. Some of them were here legally. Some of them had tattoos about autism awareness, for that one of them had a tattoo for autism awareness. And that's why he was deported.
And because, you know, it might have been a gang tattoo.
Yeah.
We're literally picking people up off the streets for tattoos. Again, it's racial profiling is what it is. I mean, I'll say again, I put that challenge out for anybody defending any of this. Show me the first blonde hair, blue eyed Swedish exchange student who overstayed her visa, who is treated this way, abducted off the streets. And it's not that I'm going to be suddenly on your side. It's that you're going to be on ours to finally understand that this can happen to anybody. And it will happen to somebody blonde haired, blue eyed, when they write something that somebody doesn't like. And the fact that we've had so very little pushback from Republican elected officials who swore an oath to the Constitution should trouble everybody.
Yeah. And I think, you know, the fact is they're targeting right now people who are not U.S. citizens. They might be on student visas or permanent residents. But if you think they won't expand this to cover naturalized citizens and then eventually American born, you know, citizens, they will. And this should, I don't care who you voted for. If you voted for Trump because you thought he'd fix the economy, fine. If you are okay with this, that is appalling, because it is the most un-American thing imaginable. We obviously have a history of doing terrible things at moments in time. Obviously, in World War II, we interned a lot of Japanese people in internment camps. We have treated different populations, you know, poorly over the decades. But America has always tried to improve and become a more perfect union where everyone has equal rights. It is the only country in the world that has tried to do that. And that is being torched right now by these abductions, these disappearances, these efforts to essentially say Donald Trump and Marco Rubio and Pete Hegseth and all these other people get to decide who is American and who gets deported and imprisoned to countries they're not even from.
Yeah. And it is okay to say, well, the people I wish they were rounding up, you know, are the violent criminals and all of that. You can wish that all you want, but you'd better say something when that net sweeps up a whole bunch of people who did not commit crimes or do anything like that. Because if not, then, you know, like he said, well, like I would say, I don't even want to know you, to put it quite bluntly. When you mentioned Pete Hegseth and Marco Rubio, of course, that takes us to, the big story of the week, which I guess is being dubbed SignalGate for Signal the app. And people go, oh, why do we put gate on everything? Well, because the dumbest scandal ever is probably a name that won't stick, or the dumbest, most dangerous text chain ever. Again, it's too much to fit on a bumper sticker. So we'll go with SignalGate for the moment. And not so much anymore the text chain itself. It's now become about the disinformation campaign to say, that wasn't classified because I say it wasn't classified. I'm looking at the battle plans right here. That's classified stuff, Kia.
Yeah. I mean, look, none of how this has played out has remotely surprised me. We have seen that Donald Trump's entire approach is deny, 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 deflect, 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 never admit wrongdoing, never admit defeat, anything like that. So of course his, you know, acolytes in the government are Pete Hegseth, Mike Waltz, you know, they very clearly invited a reporter into their private Signal chat, which is an incredible thing to do, by the way, an incredible screw up. Mm-hmm. And then to share war plans in a private Signal chat, you know, most people around the country might not understand that this is a big deal. It might not affect their daily life. I get it. Like, if I were just, you know, a senior in Wisconsin, I'd care more about the attacks on Social Security. But these, like, we know a lot of foreign countries try to hack us, turn CIA agents into spies, etc. And to share war plans in a Signal chat where you've invited a reporter is insane, especially for a party that made hay out of Benghazi and Hillary Clinton for years. And but more troublesome, like you said, is the denial, the deflection. And it might work. Like, I don't suspect this is going to blow over. I think someone's going to get thrown on the stake and it'll probably be Mike Waltz. But, you know, you're seeing the entire MO. It's to essentially create an alternate reality. And they can do that because of all their media ecosystems. And they expect all of their voters to buy it and to just not care. And it'll be, you know, troubling if that actually pans out to be true.
So let's get to the things that would affect somebody. People go, well, that's not for me. And so we could mention the ending this week of, you know, malaria vaccinations overseas. And again, you'd say, well, that's not me. Well, until the next, you know, plague gets here. The increase in measles cases around this country as a result of disinformation should impact you. There's the whole the ramping up of calling Social Security a Ponzi scheme in terms of getting, you know, ready to attack all of that. But if you take all that aside, even I would point people toward an article in Politico here, where a top Commerce Department official sent a blistering email about the cuts to rural broadband in order to enrich Elon Musk's satellite internet company, which the official said was much worse than just doing rural broadband, and saying we're doing it to make the world's richest man even richer. And I basically have given away the story, Kia, but it's to say that at least on some of these things, we are seeing pushback. We're seeing lawsuits. We're seeing people being outspoken. There's not nearly enough yet, but I do feel like this battleship is very slowly turning.
Yeah, I mean, I think a majority of Americans do not want to see Elon Musk anywhere near the government. There was a poll I saw the other day that said of all the agents they asked about, I think, 8 to 12 agencies. I can't remember the exact number, but if there's any of the federal agencies they'd want to see eliminated, the one that got the most support for eliminating it was DOGE. And so people don't want to see their Social Security gutted. They don't want to see malaria spreading in their communities or measles killing children. You know, and the entire agenda is essentially to hollow government out like they've been doing, but really speed running it now. And essentially then just awarding contracts to Elon Musk, to potentially Peter Thiel, to surveillance firms, potentially to Amazon, you know, and So what you're seeing is, yeah, they're going to cut rural broadband. They're going to try to privatize Medicare. They're going to try to privatize Social Security. And it's essentially a billionaire torching all forms of, you know, public benefits and service and institutions so that his billionaire buddies can come in and make more billions off of that and provide Americans with garbage benefits and service.
Well, of course, and the private sector, the benevolence of the billionaires will take care of us all is the way it goes, which again takes us to that whole notion of, you know, if you give them an inch, they'll take a mile. It starts with disappearing people who they can easily label as terrorists or illegals, but it ramps up into, you know, citizens and others. And the same goes for maybe some people are okay cutting some of the aid that goes overseas. But again, it's not going to stop there. It's going to come home to your Social Security. It's going to come to your broadband. And as we learned this week, it's going to come to add thousands of dollars to the cost of a car. I didn't even try to get Kyle Kaminsky from our sister publication, The Gander, out in Michigan to come talk about the auto stuff. I've seen the stuff you're editing for him.
Yeah.
And there's an impact in Wisconsin, but Michigan, not a fun place to be right now for a state where a whole lot of people thought they were voting for something other than what they normally got. But Kia, thank you for summing it all up with me for this week. We will definitely be on the trail for happier news next week. Have a very good weekend.
You too, Pat. Thank you.
We'll be back with today's history lesson in just a bit. You're up there.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Yeah, this is a Pabst Blue Ribbon commercial from 1979. Craig's jaw is open because the commercial that we're playing is from the disco era, and that is a young Patrick Swayze appearing to be on the same dance floor as John Travolta from back in the day. It is such a classic disco commercial, and it's just Patrick Swayze and a partner dancing while they think about Pabst Blue Ribbon, all because Friedrich Pabst was born on this day in 1836.
And his last words on his deathbed were, "Let them dance." That's not what he sounded like at all.
No, it's not. It's really not. So I listened through a lot of commercials yesterday to try to come up with a nice retro Pabst Blue Ribbon commercial, but I wanted you to see the Patrick Swayze.
So that was amazing.
Just look up Pabst Blue Ribbon 1979 or disco or Patrick Swayze, and you'll thank me later on. But Frederick Pabst, happy birthday to you. Died back in 1904. On this day in 1974, the number one song, I always want to say Blue Suede, but it's Blue Swede.
Blue Swede.
Was Blue Swede, Get Your Ooga Chagas Ready, Here We Go.
Ooga chaga, ooga, ooga, ooga chaga, ooga, ooga, ooga chaga, ooga, ooga, ooga chaga, ooga, ooga.
I can't stop this feeling.
How old was I? I was 9 and a half, almost 10 years old when this came out. It was the greatest thing. Everything came out. Ooga chaga, ooga chaga.
That's got to be adorable. There's got to be a whole generation of kids your age and younger, a little bit younger.
Oh, yeah, we know. We totally know. We bust out laughing.
I wasn't even born then.
And it's just that way when you hear the B.J. Thomas version, the very schmaltzy.
Yeah.
You want this one. And then Guardians of the Galaxy, put it on the soundtrack. And it has life. Certified gold this day in 1974. The next year, 1975. I've told the story before, but I always like when it comes up. 1975, Elvis Presley was playing a concert at the Hilton in Las Vegas. Barbara Streisand goes backstage, tells Elvis she's going to be doing a remake of the film A Star Is Born, and Barbara Streisand wants Elvis to be her co-lead. Elvis is interested, but on the advice of his manager, Colonel Tom Parker, Elvis demands too much money and demands top billing, over Barbara Streisand, and so the role went to Kris Kristofferson instead.
Knowing what I now know about Colonel Tom Parker, I wonder if him telling like ask for a lot of money, top billing, he knew that she'd say no, and like, because that man was all about like mini sabotaging Elvis.
Oh, from, yes. Like, you know, to just have it all to himself, yeah. Enrich himself and all of that. That Elvis movie from, what, 2 years ago now?
Yeah.
That was really good. I highly recommend
it. I got to check it out. I was kind of against it at first. I'm like, oh, God. All right.
Oh, my God. Yeah, with Tom Hanks playing the role of Colonel Parker.
Yeah.
Happy birthday to Reba McEntire. She turns 70 today.
Just gives me way.
Her new show on Peacock, Happy's Place, is real fun. It's not anything
like it?
Deep. It's not anything deep. It's not anything like groundbreaking. It's just fun.
You just like it for what it is.
Yeah, and it's got like a real tribute to the old show on there, and you know, it's just great.
That's good. I kind of feel the same way about the NBC's reboot of Night Court.
Same.
It's like, you know, it's nothing like the original, but you know, it's nice. It's easy.
Yeah.
Actor Vince Vaughn has a birthday today. He is 55. On this day in 1970, John Lennon's Instant Karma hit its peak on the charts of number 3.
Instant Karma's gonna get you. Gonna knock you right in the head.
On this day in 1979, there was a coolant leak at Three Mile Island. The nuclear plant outside Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, led to the core overheating, a partial meltdown, and a collective freakout, may I say, from coast to coast, going, what's happening? On this day in 1981, the new number one song was also the first number one song that featured a rap. It was by Blondie.
Way to go, white ladies. Groundbreaking rap for the world.
See, now, I wish I'd have brought the story here, but Blondie was very much in with that crowd was originating rap. And again, coming back to my History of Rock and Roll podcast that I've been listening to, why is she the first one up there? Because again, give it to the white lady. She'll do it.
Give it to the with star power. And
if
you want a really good documentary on Netflix, Hip Hop Evolution, the first season, they talk about this song.
Okay, there you go. So 1981 for this being the number one song. Let's see. On this day in 1881, P.T. Barnum and James Bailey merged their circuses to form the Barnum and Bailey Circus. That was 1881. Then in 1907, they were bought out by the Ringling Brothers, and the Ringling Brothers were from anybody? Baraboo, Wisconsin, to form Ringling Brothers and Barnum and Bailey Circus. Now you know. One more birthday. Happy birthday to Lady Gaga. She turns 39 today. Born Stephanie Germanata. I wonder if she still gets mail at that name. Or is it always, you know, Lady Gaga?
Gaga Lady, or
Gaga, comma Lady, right.
Lady Goga. Another one for Lod Gogurts. Darn it!
Yep. 39 years old today. And that is today's history lesson. Coming up in the next hour of Up North News Radio, we are going to be talking to our regular Week in Review panel. That, of course, would be former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel and a couple of Chicago veteran journalists, Mark Jacob and Jennifer Schulze. And we have, again, plenty to talk about. It's amazing how not bored we ever are on Friday mornings when we're talking about the news of the week. Wonder why. Wherever you're listening across Wisconsin on this Friday morning, when you're here, you're up north, live from Lake Wasota on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.